called The Prayer of Jabez. There was a book many years ago put out based upon this passage of Scripture, a very popular one. But I'd like to look at this passage tonight, The Prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It talks about a man who overcame his name and his circumstances. A man who overcame his name and circumstances. And 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in the Old Testament. Sometimes those older books are hard to find. I'll give you a moment to find that. I do want to encourage you to join us for revival services next week. We will have a nursery for all the services, even for the evening services on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and children's church for every service also. So please come and join us, especially those that have children. We'd like for you to be with us during the revival service. It'd be good to see Dustin and Emily again. And can't wait to have them with us here back at home at First Baptist Church. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. I'll read the verses, you follow along with me, and then I'm going to share a few things with you from this passage of Scripture. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. It's interesting, Jabez is mentioned only here in all the Bible, only in these two verses. Now, another is used again, the name of a city later on in another verse. But it's the only time it's mentioned here. In fact, this chapter, what's interesting to me about this, if you back up in chapter 4, look in verse 1. I want you to notice this is a list of descendants of Judah. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "And the sons of Judah," they list off name after name after name. And then he says in the latter part of verse 2, "These are the families of Zorathites." In verse 4, the middle part, "These are the sons of Hur." Down in verse 6, the latter part of the verse 6, "These are the sons of Nereth." And then skip all the way over to verse 13. "These are the sons of Kenaz." He names them all by name. Then verse 15, "These are the sons of Caleb." Then he mentions them by name. Then verse 17, "These are the sons of Ezra." Names them by name. So it's quite a boring chapter, name after name after name. But all of a sudden, God sticks right in the middle of this, amidst all these lineage, all these descendants of Judah, a man called Jabez. And by the Holy Spirit's direction, the author wrote these verses on Jabez. It was name after name after name. Then all of a sudden, hey, have you heard about Jabez? And so here, let's talk about the reason for his name. Why was he called Jabez? In verse 9, the latter part of the verse, it says, "Because I bear him with sorrow." His mother bore him with sorrow. The word sorrow here means pain, bodily or mentally sorrow. So he was named after the experience that his mother had when she bore him. His mother named him after her experience. His name is called Jabez. The word Jabez means to grieve or sorrowful. How about you have a name called grief? Or a name called sorrowful? That's what Jabez means. So anyone mention Jabez, like you said, hey, sorrowful, hey, grief. And so he was named after the experience his mother had when she delivered him in this world. His mother gave him the name because it says, "I bore him with sorrow." Because of the fall, God's judgment is that all women would bear children with sorrow. In Genesis 3:16, this is God's judgment on the woman because of her disobedience in the Garden of Eden. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." That's true of all women that bear children. But notice here, this is true of all women, but some with much greater and more sorrow than others. Some women in labor, they go, the child comes out very quickly. Sometimes they go hours of a lot of pain bearing children. And so usually the sorrow of bearing sorrow and bearing is afterwards forgotten because of the joy of the child. But here it seems that it was so extraordinary pain that the care was taken to perpetuate the remembrance of it by naming her son after this. That she wanted to remember every time she saw her son, the pain that she bore in bringing him into this world. So interesting, the reason for his name. Now, next, look at the distinction of his person. The distinction of his person, the first part of verse 9, it says Jabez was more honorable than his what? Brethren. It did not say his brothers were not honorable. It just said he was more honorable. That he stood out above and all his brothers in his family. And Jabez was more honorable. So he stood out above and over and above his brothers. Again, it doesn't say why or how he's more honorable. It just says he is more honorable. Maybe it's because of his character. Maybe it's because of his possessions. Maybe because of his person. It doesn't say how. It just said he was more honorable. And so that's the distinction of his person. That when everybody knew the family of Jabez, they said, you know, of that family, Jabez was more honorable. But I want you to notice also, a city was named after him. You don't have to turn now, I think it's on the screen. In chapter 2, verse 55, it says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt where? At Jabez. So it's believed that he was had such honorable character, something about him, they actually named the city after him. So he was a man that brought in this world with much, brought much sorrow to his mother. In fact, she named him after her experience of the grief she had when she delivered him. And also, he was a man of great distinction over above all his brothers. So when you thought of the family of Jabez, Jabez stood up above all of them. And so, in fact, they named the city after him. But why was he more honorable? It doesn't say, but I want to tell you why I think he was. It's because of the prayer he offered. The prayer he offered. Look in verse 10. Let's look at this prayer together. This is called the prayer of Jabez. And notice here, first of all, the person to whom he prayed. It says in verse 10, Jabez called on the God of who? Of Israel. He did not call on the gods of the Gentiles, the gods all around him and the people which lived in the same land. He called on the God of Israel. What was the name of the God of Israel? It was Jehovah. In the Hebrew, that's his personal name. In fact, in the English language, in the King James Version, every time the word Jehovah is mentioned, it's spelled with all capitals. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, that's the name Jehovah. So basically, Jabez called upon Jehovah in this prayer. He's praying to the God of Israel, which was the living and true God. Now look at the nature of his prayer. Again, in verse 10, the second part of it says, he says, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. The first two words, oh, that is a conditional clause. In other words, this seems to be a vow he's making. Oh, that thou would do this for me. And basically what he's saying, if thou wilt bless me indeed. He did not express the promise that he would make if God fulfilled this. Basically, he was giving God, as it were, a blank sheet of paper. Lord, if you would answer this prayer for me, basically, Lord, you can do what you want to do with me. And in other words, he'd let God write what he pleases. Lord, if thou wilt bless me and keep me, I will be at thy command and disposal forever. In fact, this was similar to the vow of Jacob. Hold your finger here. Go now to Genesis 28, please. Genesis 28. Jacob vowed a similar vow, or prayed a similar prayer, which begins with the same word, though it is different in the English language. Genesis 28, please. Many of you know this vow of Jacob. Have you ever made a vow to God? Have you ever promised God you'd do something? Have you ever said, God, if you do this for me, I would do this for you? Many times, war, many people, and they say in the foxhole, they said, Lord, if you get me out here safely, I will serve you the rest of my life. Have you ever done that before? Have you fulfilled your vow? In Genesis 28, look what it says in verse 20, please. Genesis 28:20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, and notice it begins, if, and by the way, the word if is the same Hebrew word as the word oh that. It was mentioned in Jacob's prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. It's, in one place it's translated if. Another place it's translated, oh, that. Jacob said, if God will be with me if He will keep me in the way that I should go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house then. Now let's back up before we see the promise that Jacob made if God would do this. Three things he said if God would do. First of all, if God would be present with him. Look back in verse 20. He said, if God would be with me. By the way, do we have to pray that prayer today? My friend, he's always with us. Because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. We don't have to pray that prayer if you'll be with me. But back then they did. So he was promised, he said, he wanted God's presence. Then he wanted God's protection. He said, and will keep me in the way that I should go. He's asking God to be with him, his presence, his protection, but also his provision. And will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. So basically saying, God, if you'll be with me, if you'll protect me and provide for me. And verse 21 says, then shall the Lord be my God. Verse 22, and the stone which I have set for pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So basically he said, if you'll be with me, protect me and provide for me. He said, you'll be my God. And this stone here will be thy house. And of all that you listen with, I'll give you a tenth of it. I'll tithe it. And so, basically, this was a conditional vow that was made, that he made to God. And God fulfilled his part, and Jacob did the same thing. Now, go back now to Chronicles, please. Back to Chronicles. It says there in verse 10, he says, oh, that... Basically, if thou will bless me indeed. So that's talking about the nature of the prayer. It was a vow he was making to God. But notice the content of the prayer now, the content. There's four things he prayed for here. What I want to do is look at these things and apply them to our prayer life. First of all, he said four things. First of all, he prayed that God would bless him. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Notice again who was Jabez called upon. He called upon the God of Israel, the Lord. But also, he asked God to bless him how? Indeed. What does the word indeed mean? It means abundantly or altogether. I don't know about you. When God blesses me, I want him to bless me abundantly. Amen? I don't want a partial blessing, a little, but I want a big one. Bless me indeed. And perhaps... because he being a Jew, a descendant of Judah, perhaps he had his eye on the promise God made to Abraham. In the Abrahamic covenant, he said, in blessing, I will bless thee. And so Jabez may have been saying, let the blessings of Abraham be upon me. So he's asking God to bless him. Is anything wrong for us asking God to bless us? Have you ever asked God to bless you? How many of you as parents asked God to bless your children? And nothing wrong with that. So he asked God to bless him. Number two, the second thing he prayed for. He prayed that God would increase his territory. He says, and enlarge my coast. The word enlarge means to make large, to multiply, increase. The word coast means border, territory, or region. He wanted more land. In fact, he was referring to the land that God promised to the Jew. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 8, it says this, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he has sworn unto his fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers. So in most of you that were in my class during the Summer Bible Institute, we covered covenants. We saw the Abrahamic covenant. We saw what is called the Palestinian or the land covenant. It's a covenant God made with Abraham. And he promised a certain land to him. And I believe Jabez referred to that. I'm a Jew. I'm a descendant of Abraham. Lord, fulfill your promise by enlarging my coast. He was calling upon God to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham. Number three. The first one, that God would bless him. The second, God would increase his territory. Number three. Oh, before we go any further, let me back up. How would that apply to us? Would it be wrong for us to ask God to give us more land? Not necessarily anything wrong with it, but there's no promise we can base it upon. But I believe what we can do is ask God to enlarge our outreach, our influence in our ministry, our effectiveness. Anything wrong with that? How many of you want to be more effective for the Lord in reaching people for Christ? I believe God will honor that. Lord, enlarge my coast. Give me more souls to my account. Help me to be more effective in my witnessing and my ministry. God will honor that. So I think we should do that. Now, number three, the third part of Jabez's prayer. He asked that God's hand might be with him. He says that thy hand might be with me. God's hand represented three things when he prayed this. First of all, he's praying for God's guidance. The word hand refers to God's guidance. You ever pray for God's guidance in your life? Maybe in decision that you have to make, in direction you got to go, decisions on, buying a house. You know, God's blessed our school with many new staff members. No doubt they ask God, Lord, give me direction. Do you want me to work at Land Lakes Christian School? Evidently, God answered yes, and they're here. So nothing wrong praying for direction, praying for guidance, praying for decisions. As a parent, as a father, as a head of the home, you always have decisions to make. How about you? I need help many times. So there's nothing wrong with a prayer for God's guidance. Next, his hand also represented protection. Protection. That God would protect me. You know, I pray all the time as a man that God would protect my wife. When she's out driving around, out by herself, God would protect her. I pray that God would protect my kids. My son lives up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and his wife and three grandkids. And my daughter here, I said, Lord, protect them. I pray God protect my grandkids. But I asked her, how many of you pray for that for your family? Nothing wrong with that. So the hand upon him was hand of protection. Next, the hand represented strength. God's strength. His guidance, his protection, and his strength. Maybe strength to do what I ought to do. Do you have a problem doing things that God wants you to do sometimes? Maybe it's witnessing. You ever struggle with that, doing that? You feel God's prompting you and fear overcomes you? Lord, give me the strength to do what I ought to do. Give me strength to open my mouth and speak as I ought to speak. Not only to do what I ought to, maybe to be what I ought to be. You know, God wants us to be kind. You ever find it hard to be kind? You ever find it hard to be sweet and considerate? Pray for the Lord to help you. Pray for strength. How about to say what you ought to say? You ever want to bite your tongue? Many of us, when you get angry and you're going to say something, Lord, give me the strength to bite my tongue. Help me, Lord. So this, when he said, pray his hand be upon him, he's praying for God's guidance, God's protection, and God's strength. Number four. The fourth thing he prayed for. He said, oh, that God would keep me from evil. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He asked God to protect him from evil. The evil of sin, the evil of trouble, the evil of designs of his enemies. God, keep me from evil. But also he asked God not to make him a Jabez. What does Jabez mean? Sorrowful grief. And so, Lord, help me don't live up to my name. Help me not to be a Jabez and not to live a life of grief that my name implies. So he prayed God protect him and keep him from evil, and it may not grieve him. Now here's a question. Of those four contents of prayer, did God hear and answer it? The latter part of verse 10, it says, and God granted him that which he what? Requested. God's not a respecter of persons. If he granted that to Jabez, you know what he might do? He might grant it for you. I think of the verse, as that God granted him what he requested. I think of the verse in James chapter 4, it says, we have not because we ask not. I think there's many things God desires to do for us that he simply does not do because we don't ask. Don't request. Here Jabez asked for four things, and God did every one of them. He fulfilled, he honored his request. Jabez overcame his name and his family problems by turning to God in prayer and asking God for a blessing. And God blessed him. I want to look at one more verse and we'll wrap it up this evening. Go now to Romans 15, please. Romans chapter 15. Here in Romans, it talks about the Old Testament. Romans chapter 15, look with me in verse 4, and we'll wrap it up and get you out here a little early tonight. I never had anyone get upset with me getting out early, but I had people at least that and getting out late. Romans 15, look with me in verse 4, please. Paul said, and whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Now, the things written aforetime talks about the Old Testament. And so basically he's saying here, Jabez, the scripture there was written aforetime, but it's written for our what? Learning. What can we learn from the prayer of Jabez? First of all, God wants to bless you. And many times he does not because you don't ask him. Number two, God is a prayer hearing God. He heard Jabez's prayer. And he'll hear your prayer if you simply may ask. So in all our messages on prayer, this morning we're talking about keep on praying. But basically, just pray. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall knock. Shall find. And knock, it shall be... I just see if you pay attention. And knock, it shall be what? Open unto you. I pray that you'll do that. And so, pray. What can we learn from this? Our God is a God who hears prayers and a God that desires to bless his people. We have a wonderful God. So the admonition tonight is pray. Let's bow together, please. Father and God, we thank you that you are indeed a prayer-hearing God. And you long to hear the prayers of your people. And Father, your word told us we have not because we ask not. And we saw here in the Old Testament this, the genealogy of the descendants of Judah. We saw a man who prayed, and he asked for four things, and you answered every one of them. Lord, may this motivate us to pray, to seek you and ask for you, and Lord, just call upon you. We think of the verse in Jeremiah 33:3, where he said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, which we know it's not. We think of the verse in Ephesians that says, "Were you able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think?" Father, may we ask, may we seek, may we be prayer people, people of prayer here at First Baptist Church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.